Dear Heavenly Father, on this day of a baptism of Brooke, we thank you for Jesus. Father, we thank you that you've made the way of salvation known in the person of your Son. Thank you that you haven't left us to guess, but have given us a very clear word. Help us to do what Jesus said to the disciples and to the crowd that day he spoke. Listen, help us to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to imagine for a moment before you cards, regular playing cards, but they're all face down. Now, what's a little bit irregular is that they don't have jacks and numbers on them and queens and kings and so on, but on three of the cards face down. So the side you can't see is, on three of the cards, the letter W. And on the final card, the fourth card, is the letter G. So four cards, three of them have W, four have the letter G. But you don't know which one it is. You don't know which one of the four has the G. You don't, for that matter, you don't know which ones have the W. You just don't know. The W stands for wrecked. It's a silent W, and it's a life that will be wrecked from this point forward. The G stands for the good news life, because Jesus came proclaiming good news. He wants us to know it. He invites us to take it on. The good news life, that's what it stands for. So wrecked, good. That's about life. Now, those four cards are in front of you. How many of us, with that bit of information, are likely to turn up a card, taking a punt, as it were, that we're going to get the G? Maybe some would. I don't think I would, and I don't think many would, but some might take that punt. Let's change things a little bit, and this time we've got somebody who we rely on, that we trust, someone that's not going to be mistaken, and they can tell us exactly which one of those cards has the G on it. We've now got 100% certainty that if we turn that card, we've got the good news life. Well, that's changed things considerably, hasn't it? And my expectation would be that the buy-in factor would be considerable. There wouldn't be too many of us that wouldn't take that one on. Now, Jesus is not using playing cards. His examples and so on that he uses here today, much more serious and thought out, but he's given us a very clear word. He's given us a very clear word, and I'm working on the basis that many of us here trust him. Faith in him, we've confessed before him our sins, we rely on him as Lord and Saviour, we've baptised in his name, so I'm guessing, perhaps a bit more than guessing, that would be too much in the whole area of gambling, having introduced it in the introduction, but that we're going to be wanting to hear what he's got to say. Here is a trustworthy person, and Jesus, at this time in Mark's Gospel, preaching the good news. The time has come, the hour has come, repent and believe the good news. And as it was preached and taught in and around Galilee and the other side of the Sea of Galilee and so on, Lake Galilee, preached in those regions in the Middle East. He was a sower of the word, and that's what he tells us. He speaks of a sower. And, of course, the word is still sown today. The difference between the sower that faithfully proclaims today and the sower of Jesus, he is the content of his preaching and teaching. We preach about him. He does so perfectly. People like me make mistakes. When we speak of Jesus, we make mistakes. But of course, we're informed by his Holy Spirit, who helps us truly know Jesus and make him known. The Bible today, as we read it, it's a pretty harsh word. It sounds nice as we get going, a word about gardening or farming, but it's a pretty harsh word. Because there are three groups of people that are described here for whom the good news is basically of zero gain. Zilch. Nothing. No benefit whatsoever. There's only one group that it's mentioned that there is gain, and it's considerable gain. They get everything and gain everything on offer from the Lord Jesus. So in Mark chapter 4, Jesus is firstly speaking to a crowd, and he does so by way of a parable, a story which is, at a surface level, fairly easy to understand. You don't need to be a farmer, or you don't even need to be any good at gardening to get the gist of the story at a surface level. We get that. We understand it. Seeds and water and soil and fertilizer and all the rest of it. We get it. However, there is a lot below the surface that's going on with not just this parable, but any parable that Jesus teaches. And we read not only in Isaiah, but here, many people will see but not perceive, hear but not understand. And that's hard, but that is what Jesus is saying. One little thing about this parable, before we get underway a little bit more, is that it's probably the best known of Jesus' parables, and that's good, sort of. Trouble with good things that we know are familiar to us, we stop noticing. We stop noticing, because they're familiar. They're there, they're part of the background. This story is reasonably well known. We need to do what Jesus says and to listen. Okay, to cut to the chase. The parable has a couple of things that are the same. One is the sower. It's the same sower of the seed in the different parts. Some of the seed that he's going to sow will fall here, fall there, but it's the same sower. Now, that could be Jesus, but it doesn't have to be because others sow the word as well. The same farmer scattering the seed. The seed is another thing that is the same. It's not this type of seed and that type. The seed is the word of God. It's the same word. If you're in a science class and think back to your science experiments, they are the controlled elements. The independent factor, of course, is the one that changes, the one you manipulate. And here the one that changes is the soil and its recipe, the way it receives. I had another word here, but I can't read it at this time of day. How the soil receives the seed that is sown or that comes on top of it. Variable. So four reactions are mentioned as this seed is sown. Jesus says, listen to what I'm going to say. He bookends what he says by, those that have ears to hear, let them hear. So this is a lesson in listening. Believe it or not, today this is a 6-point sermon, most of three, but I want to say right up front, they're going to be fairly quick. Got 4 points, we're going to look at the four responses, and then I want to look at two solid truths that come from this passage. So fairly briefly, and in our few moments, let's look firstly at the seed that falls upon the path. It doesn't even get into the soil. You can imagine it. It's just on a pathway. And the preacher or teacher, whether it be Jesus or those who follow, the word is proclaimed truthfully. The seed is the word of God. But here it falls on deaf ears. The hearer pays no attention to it, no interest, could be thinking about whatever else is happening today, my shopping list, what I've got to be doing at work tomorrow, what might happen at the footy today, or lamenting what happened yesterday, or whatever it might be, but not listening to the word. Going back to Ryle, Bishop Ryle that I mentioned earlier, the word has no more effect than water on stone. Doesn't get in. And it's sobering to think that there could be people like that have been attending church for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, decades. But their desire ultimately is for other things. And whatever happens, while ever they're in that state, they are lost to God. They've been snatched by Satan. That's what Jesus says. Not a lot to say about folk in that category. It's fairly black and white. The second part of the parable, Jesus speaks of seed that is sown in rocky places. Here there is not much soil. Now, one of the things I've noticed in moving from Joondalup to Coolangup and Rockingham this year is the soil is rather better here. It is. It's a lot better. But at my house in Joondalup, Edna's and my place, where our kids still live, at this time of year, the lawn, grass might be a better way of putting it, looks actually pretty swish. Trouble is, about 3/4 of it is the winter grass, And of course, it's looking good now. We're in August. Come about October, and it's not going to be looking so clever. It will actually die, okay? Because there's no root. There is nothing there to support it. It's just for a very, very short time. Well, here, let's get a bit more serious, because we're not talking about winter grass. We're talking about people and the Lord Jesus, and we're talking about salvation. This is where there's no root or depth, but there's a temporary impression on hearing the word of God, maybe even taking pleasure in hearing it read, responding with joy at times, emotion, being even moved to tears by the word. But there's no true life from God in the hearer. No sooner does affliction and persecution arise for the word's sake, then they fall away. It's about convenience. I'll take it on while it's good news, but not beyond that. Not when it costs. Ryle describes people like this as being like a cut flower which looks good, but it is actually dead, and it's going to droop. It's certain it's going to do that. Fairly difficult word. But the next one, I think, is the most solemn of the lot. And so we're now into our third point out of six. The next group, especially solemn, and it's where Jesus warns of something. Situations happen where people will hear the word of God, where it will grow and go for a while, but that word will get choked by the thorns, as it were. It's sown amongst thorns, and they creep up and they choke it. They'll acknowledge the truth of the word, yes. Probably confessions like we did today, yes. Maybe come to church regularly, yes. But their true loyalty is not with the Lord Jesus. And you know what the issue is? They stop listening. I'll listen to a point, but after that, no, I'm not listening anymore. It's that key word, listening, or hearing to a point, but they stop, just don't want to hear anymore. And it's choked by what is sometimes referred to as the world, the flesh and the devil, here described as the worries of this world, the deceitfulness of wealth and desires for other things. What unfolds is a slow but steady tragedy, because for a time, and maybe a long time, it looks as though these folk really are with the Lord. Ryle has a helpful word, and so I'm going to read that. To go so far, actually I'll start back another paragraph. These are the faithful ministers of Christ. Sorry, there are faithful ministers of Christ who could not point to cases like these. Of all cases, they are the most melancholy. To go so far and yet go no further. To see so much and yet not see all. To approve of so much and yet not give Christ the heart. This is indeed most deplorable. And there is but one verdict that can be given about such people. Without a decided change, they will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Christ will have all our hearts. And then a quote from James chapter 4, if any man will be a friend of the world, he is an enemy of God. It's pretty sobering, isn't it? In my view, this is the most sobering of the lot. Difficult and troubling. Gone is that nice little lesson about plants and sowing seed. Listening up to a point, but nevertheless, what Jesus is saying, ultimately, there are folk that will do that, but their devotion and loyalty, their hearts are not with him. They're elsewhere. And Jesus has given us this very important parable to warn us, to humble us. Again, it's a lesson in listening. Ultimately, am I loyal to myself or am I loyal to Jesus? And it's an important one because there is the lure of distractions forever before us. They're always there and they'll be different for different people. And the wise approach will certainly be to have a self-awareness, to have an awareness of who you are and what might lure you away, and it will be different for you to me, and so on and so forth. But if it's going to be a story of my life that I am self-centered, rather than Christ-centered, well, ultimately our loyalty is not with him. So three warnings so far, one about the seed on the path, no interest whatsoever. Might as well have just been talking about any other subject, no interest here in Jesus. The next one, shallow, shines for a while but dies. Third one, the thorns. The profit from any of them, from the gospel, is zero. It's a W, silent W. It's the wrecked life on these categories. And that leaves the final one, the fourth one, which we'll look at, and that is the seed sown on good soil. It hears the word, and the point is it doesn't stop hearing the word. It doesn't stop listening, accepting it, learning more and more, and fully doing so, bearing fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now, just be careful here. It doesn't mean you become perfect as a person. If you're a visitor at this church today, let me tell you, the place is full of sinners. Actually, it's not full. There's room for more, right? Plenty more. But every week that I've been here so far, when we confess our sins, people confess their sins. So I'm telling you, this place, we know people here are sinful. I pray the prayer as well. And we need forgiveness. So this isn't about being perfect, but it's about being a forgiven sinner, loyalty to the Lord Jesus, and we're told the fruit of that life, 30, 60, 100-fold. And that's not 30s like a fail, like I've just failed my maths test. 60, oh, that's not 90 or 100, wow. No, it's good, better, best. It's just a way of saying different generation of fruit that of living for the Lord Jesus. This is the true disciples of the Lord Jesus who receive his truth to the bottom of their hearts. They believe in him. At their funeral, like we had one here the other day, will songs about the Lord Jesus, their Saviour, their Lord. That was what Leon's funeral was about the other day when we were here. She didn't have what you normally hear at funerals. I did it my way. That's the most popular one. Well, that's not the Lord's way. No, these are the people that belong to him. And like a plant in good soil, they flourish. They grow in him and love him. Sinful though they might be, and yes, that's true. Forgiven, yes, fully. But giving their life to the Lord. Read these last words today from Ryle. The fruit of the seed falling into good ground will always be of the same kind. There will always be visible repentance, visible faith in Christ, and visible holiness of life. Without these, there is no saving religion. So with these, there'll be visible repentance, visible faith in Christ, visible holiness of life. And then he sort of sums up his little article here on all four. And now let us ask ourselves, what are we? Under which class of hearers ought we be ranked? With what kinds of hearts do we hear the word? Never, never may we forget that there are three ways of hearing without profit, and only one way of hearing aright. Never, never may we forget that there is only one infallible mark of being a right-hearted hearer. That mark is to bear fruit. To be without fruit is to be in the way of hell. Pretty harsh words, aren't they? Well, with that, pause for a moment. Four of the 6 points. Okay, very quickly on the last two, because they are solid truths that this passage reveals for us. Two I want to highlight. There's probably more. Between the telling of the parable that day to the crowd and then to his talking to his disciples and explaining it, there's the explanation more generally of parables and where they fit in to Jesus' ministry and to understanding who he is. And there's a sentence where Jesus says to his apostles and to his immediate disciples, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is in parables, that they might see but not perceive, hear but not understand," and so on. I just want to pick up on that word, given. The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. Here he's not saying there's something spooky going on, but there's a mystery and it's secret and, oh, but by the way, you've got it. No, he's saying God has opened the way, has made himself known to you by the spoken word in the word of Jesus, and we have his word inspired by the Spirit that we read. So God has given, God gives the understanding. It's a reminder that this is a gift from God, his grace, that we can hear the word and understand it. But it's also true, and we need to hold this, that when we hear the word, we are responsible. We are responsible for who we are and how we respond. We hold both of those things. That is, we can't turn up one day before God, presumably at the end of our lives, and say, well, I'm putting this one on you that I didn't understand it. No, God gives the understanding, but we're also responsible. Both of those things are true. And when we receive it aright, we are brought to what this gospel account speaks of in Mark, repentance, U-turn, turning away from our sinful lives to him who is the true and living God, and coming to faith, trust in the Lord Jesus. So we're thankful to God for his kindness towards us in not leaving us to guess the good news about him. The second solid truth that I just wanted to pick up on this morning, and it's of great encouragement to me, and actually men yesterday when we were at Perth Men's Convention, I reflected on this again, a simpler truth here. There will always be in every generation until Jesus returns, every generation till he returns, those who bear fruit for Jesus. Every single one. Those that bear fruit, it might be 30, 60, 100-fold, but every generation. The Lord remains sovereign. God has not lost control. And I say that partially, and this is something I'd already written a sermon, but the speaker yesterday at Men's Convention picked up on this. Today we live in a country in Australia where at best 2 to 3% of people, 2 to 3% are genuinely Christian. I'm not talking about the census, where maybe about 48% will tick something broadly Christian. I know it's under half now. But this is the best surveys and studies, people getting into church communities and so on, statisticians as well as Christians, it's 2 to 3%. So maybe 1 in 50, maybe 1 in 30, something of that order. It's a very, very modest percentage. Not every country is like that. You go through many African countries, very different. Many parts of Latin and South America, very different. Very different. Go to the Western world, yeah, 2 or 3%. We're a long way from the Lord Jesus and following him. But the point is, in every generation, there will be those who know the Lord Jesus and are actually in that fourth group. The soil, it received a wonderful seed and it flourished, and it will flourish until its life's end in the Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Again, Heavenly Father, we can only do as Jesus is instructed here. Help us to have a godly wisdom to listen to you. You have given us a clear word, a clear warning. Help us to see that the good news is truly good news for those who trust in you. Help us to know you. We pray that the good news of Jesus and life in his name may be known in our own lives, in our communities, and throughout this land. In his name we pray. Amen.